chlorinated paraffins of average carbon chain length C12 and average degree of chlorination approximately 60%. No? Have you gone offline?
No. I can hear.
Okay, sorry, you're dead silence to that funny joke.
Oh, was it funny?
Fuck off.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh, yeah, I'm back.
Welcome to another Discourse. Sure. I'm Ben Grace with Super Hyped Up Podcast Dude.
Oh, boy. I'm Morgan Nickelberg, mouth dickhead from the internet. So, Ben, it sounds like you are being energy. Energy!
I'm 150% man this week, so just watch out. It's coming at you.
Far out.
I'm going to lay ordnance.
I'm so excited and I'm so afraid, and I'm also extremely hungry. God, you have no idea how hungry I am right now.
Why aren't you eating?
Well, it's just, you know, whatever, an accident happened. Not at the moment. I'm losing weight, though, accidentally. I'm not sure how. I think I'm eating out so much that I'm losing weight because I don't get to control my own portions when I eat out.
Ah, okay.
My big problem is portion control. I have great big servings.
I keep calling back to them because it's such a great podcast, but Hamish and Andy without the music is fantastic. And there in America, Hamish is completely scared of getting fat, so he's taking Reductyl.
Right.
But then he says what it does is makes him feel full, and then he wants to eat anyway because he loves the food. So he just feels sick as a dog because he's full and then eats a burger anyway.
So I felt like last week, now, I mean, this isn't actually, we didn't talk about talking about this, but the thing about Japan is the food. We mentioned it a little bit last week.
But it's just so wonderful, eh? I've been trying to hunt down. There's actually an amazing amount of Japanese foods in Japanese restaurants in Takapuna.
Is that right?
There's some bad ones. I've found two bad ones so far.
Oh, God, I had a terrible Japanese meal this week. I was, at the moment, I'm being weekday vegetarian, which means, which is a real thing. You know, it's a movement or whatever. Usually you don't go from normal vegetarian backwards to weekday vegetarian. But,
so what you're saying is you actually go on weekend omnivore.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly.
So but, it sounds a lot less cool than weekday vegetarian.
That's right. That's right. And it's a more significant move if you go from eating a whole lot of meat all the time to eating not so much meat than if you go from eating no meat for a couple of years, except when you travel, to eating, you know, fish and chips on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
For the sake of, you know, my girlfriend is weekday vegetarian. She never made any claims of being a vegetarian, but she made a lot of effort to, you know, suit me.
So it's easy to be weekday vegetarian if you go and find Japanese for lunch.
Oh, God, no. Japanese is terrible for vegetarian. Really terrible for vegetarian. Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
Well, miso soup.
Yeah, that's right. If you eat fish, then it'll do great for you. But if you don't eat fish, because there's fish stock in, you know, lots of the... even things that are served as a tofu dish and don't have any obvious meat will have a fish stock on them, which is something that I wouldn't eat. But so we went out for a birthday dinner for one of my dear friends, and it was at a super meaty place, which is a teppanyaki place, right?
Oh, yep,
it's basically like going to a barbecue,
fried meat,
and being like, "Why is there nothing for me?" I knew it wouldn't be good for me, but I didn't know it would be as bad as it was because I looked at the menu before I went, and it had like a vegetarian set menu option, and I was like, "Sweet, this is going to be great." I'm gonna have a great time with my friends. They're gonna eat all the meat they want, because it was on a weeknight, so I wasn't eating any meat, and it was friggin' awesome for them. If you're a meat eater, I strongly recommend going. If you don't mind spending far too much for dinner, I strongly recommend going to Kabuki Teppanyaki in downtown. It's in one of those hotels. I can't remember which hotel it was in. But as a vegetarian, it was miserable. Everyone else at there was quite a big group with, you know, the chef with the teppan grill in front of him, flicking things out to people and making people catch things in bowls and catch bowls and so on. Everyone else, they got their first four dishes and I got my first dish. I'm just sitting there just getting angrier and angrier and angrier. And finally, they bring me the exact same, like the fucking third or fourth course little tiny salad that everyone else got. And I'm like, Are you fucking kidding me? And then everyone else has like two more courses, and finally they bring me some gyoza and some fried tofu, and I'm like, okay, finally, I guess the starters have started coming out, because you know, yeah, some dumplings and some little cubes of tofu.
Yep.
Nope,
yep.
Apparently that was my main. Those dumplings.
How like? And what did you pay the same price?
I paid about $50 for that set menu. And I had a couple of their $10 beers. So
that's
all
terrible.
Up. I was angry. I was so angry, because it is so easy to make a vegetarian happy. And it's so cheap to serve a vegetarian just, you know, some fucking vegetables. Give me some goddamn beans. Give me a bit of rice and I will shut the fuck up. But they hadn't put any of that even basic thought in.
They didn't even give you a big pile of cabbage and edamame or anything like that? Or?
No, nothing like that.
Jeez.
Nothing like that at all.
Wankers.
Yeah, complete wankers. But like I said, if you eat meat, I think it's probably a real fun time. All the meat eaters had a good time. It looked like they had really nice bits of beef, good prawns and so on, but just completely fucked if you're any kind of vegetarian.
I've been hunting Japanese food. I went to Japan Mart out at Sylvia Park. Great little shop. Found a Japan Mart? There's one in Kaiba Pass as well.
I don't know specifically about Japan Mart, but for a little while I made a habit of going to Kim's Club, which is not Japanese, it's Korean, but they had a bunch of cool things. My favorite thing at Kim's Club, sorry, we'll talk about the Japanese thing in a second, I like these asides. I've had nothing to eat and I've just started drinking wine, and so I'm probably going to be drunk in a minute. Which is lucky, because this show is going to be short, listeners. I love you. And my favorite thing at Kim's Club, potato noodles. Oh, my God.
Well, noodles made from potato.
Well, stuff. I don't know. I don't know, because I can't read Korean. But
that's what I love most about that sort of food, is you see one word and you think, that sounds great.
Yep.
But it might not be what it is.
Might not be. There's just something about the mouthfeel of these, though. They're so good.
I've been tofu and pickled vegetables. I managed to find some pickled plums and pickled ginger.
Pickled plums?
Pickled plums.
Like
have
a
you
euphemism?
Pickled plums?
Like a euphemism, is it? Is that your
They
joke?
Look a lot like testicles. A lot like testicles. My Ali even commented that, are you eating testicles? And I said, no, I'm not. They're pickled plums. But they're acquired. Have you had them?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
They're a very acquired taste, because they're very, very sharp.
Yeah, I have.
I love them. Absolutely love them. You just need little tiny pieces of it.
Yeah.
But yeah,
and that you got out at Japan Mart.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they're at any Japan wholesaler. But you know, you can get pickled ginger at the supermarket, but you can't get pickled plums at the supermarket.
Yep.
So I'm happy that I found them, and I've been eating them for breakfast: tofu, pickled ginger, pickled plums.
So now I read on, you're going to get great big tender tits, and then you're going to start menstruating
from pickled ginger.
No, from all the tofu. I read that you aren't even cooking your tofu.
No.
Huh. That's interesting. And how do you feel about the flavor and the texture?
You can if you want, but no, with the pickles it's nice, with a tiny bit of soy sauce.
Yep, tiny bit of soy sauce. Now tell me about the soy sauce. Have you discovered tamari yet?
Don't think so. Maybe. Don't know. What is it?
I don't really know what the difference is. I think it is a slightly more traditional recipe and fermented a little bit.
Mm.
And I think some soy sauce is just like, you know.
Dark sauce.
Yeah, dark sauce.
Let's get on to the news, eh?
All right. What's in the news?
I can't believe we started with all the boring crap.
Shut up. That wasn't boring.
Pickled vegetables give you cancer. Do you know that?
That can't be possible, because aren't vegetables supposed to like help prevent cancer? So what's the magical thing about pickling that makes them give you cancer?
I don't know what it is, but it's the thing about the, what was it, the group 2B carcinogens that's exciting because of something? Why are they exciting this week?
Next you'll tell me that 3,3-dimethoxybenzidine-O-dianisidine is a group 2B carcinogen or something.
That sounds bad. It sounds as bad as 2-methyl-1-nitroanthraquinine.
Oh, no, that's the taste of vanilla, isn't it? Yummy!
Phenobarbital, I can understand.
Chloroform. Yeah, so chloroform. The reason that this came up is the World Health Organization announced that it was putting cell phones into the Group 2B carcinogens list. But this is... It's things that are possibly carcinogenic to humans. Mm. In some instances,
an agent, mixture, or exposure circumstance for which there is inadequate evidence of carcinogenicity in humans,
yep.
but limited evidence of carcinogenicity in experimental animals. Yep. Yeah, so that sort of stuff. Really dodgy.
And it includes coffee.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
It's really bad stuff like dinitrotoluene.
Dinitrotoluene, it sounds so close to something that would explode.
And nitromethane, which I used to fuel radio-controlled cars with.
Also, on the list is carpentry.
Dry cleaning.
Firefighting.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, firefighting naturally, and because you'll be exposed to smoke. So, I mean, what is the special exposure that is required to make using a cell phone possibly carcinogenic?
So I feel really quite good after reading this group of things because, you know, obviously some of it you'll never come across, some of these weird, freaky chemical compounds.
Yeah.
But then there is, you know, textile manufacturing, welding fumes, petrol, where kind of... Didn't we have this discussion ages ago where we talked about probabilities and the fact that there's probabilities in everything. And if the probability of getting a brain cancer from cell phones is increased by 0.01%, then I think it's kind of an okay risk because it's just the probability that's increasing.
Yeah.
Not yet. It's not like using a cell phone will give you cancer.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. And I remember I talked about the possibility that if you put enough people into the vacuum of space, probably one of them would survive it.
Exactly.
Good old Morgan, eh? He sticks to the facts.
So we're saying keep using your cell phones. Come back when your brain is twice the size as it should be.
Now, I mean, the thing is, how many people actually make calls on their phone now? So, what kind of cancer is it going to be? It's going to be thumb cancer. It's going to be cancer of the palm of your hand.
Yeah. Which
I don't want. I don't want that either. But I'd rather have cancer in a finger than cancer in my brain. Because, I mean,
Is the brain tissue of a especially susceptible to... radio waves. What do they call it? Ionizing radiation.
Because it's so wet or what? Because it's fat.
More
Man,
dense.
There's something funny about brains. How do brains... I mean, it's going to sound like a joke, but how do brains even work? Because it is such a mush of... You know, it's just such a fatty chemical soup.
Exactly. You look at like lungs or heart or something and you can understand.
Yeah.
You see, you know, capillaries and stuff going on.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's kidney looks like a big sieve. And
oh, if you apply, you know, an electrical impulse, then this contracts and that, you know, causes it to pump. But then a brain, how does a brain make love?
I don't know.
I'm sure it's easy to establish. We know how a brain makes God.
Because we can fake it. Was it functional MRIs?
Yeah, you can fake it with magnets.
Can you?
Yeah, you can. A strong magnetic field. You can give people really strong religious experiences. And this is diverging No, I'm not kidding. There was a recent study. I haven't put this in the show rundown because people already think I'm such a friggin' hater. Apple fans experience a very similar... I shouldn't call it a syndrome. They experience a very similar experience, Ben. It seems like their love for Apple is almost indistinguishable from the religious experience of religious people.
That's interesting. As an aside, I had a quick look for magnetic religious experience, and I landed on a Wikipedia article that sounds just like a discourse word of the week. So I'm going to fire it back at you. Discourse word of the week, Morgan.
Oh, goody! I can't wait. Are we going to have turns at the?
Well, I'm going to give you this one. God helmet.
God helmet. God, that's God beautiful. Well, what this is it's the device which applies the field to your brain.
You're right, actually, bastard.
Yeah. But God helmet, that
reports
sounds
by
like...
participants of a sensed presence brought public attention to the God helmet through appearances in several TV documentaries showing its use.
Yeah.
Far out.
Yep.
I want to make a God helmet for myself now.
Oh, God, wouldn't it be? But, I mean, just think about the danger. You could make yourself insane. Something else that's not actually in the show this week, but I mean, you've got to be careful when you mess around with your brain. There's something, I think, on Boing Boing. It was a letter to a woman who was a psychology researcher, I think, in all of 1939, and she spoke about receiving this letter, I think, that she'd gotten about 2000 or 2001, from a primary school student. I think this might have been in England. And the research which she was doing was on stutterers, and she made children who weren't stutterers into lifelong stutterers.
Oh my God. With
this incredibly, now we would call it incredibly unethical experiment, where she basically made children incredibly overly aware of any word repetition. Yeah. And so then when they become self-conscious, it makes them become stutterers, because I think that's actually a big part of it. If stutterers can't hear themselves speaking, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert. If stutterers can't hear themselves speaking...
Well, you must have seen The King's Speech, surely.
No, I haven't seen The King's Speech.
It's a good movie. But this is exactly the situation where he makes them talk when he's listening to loud music.
Right, so that sounded, when I was talking about that, it didn't sound like I was offering any kind of insight, because it's just been in a great big movie. All right, well, I haven't seen that goddamn movie.
Back to the God Helmet.
Yep.
A double-blind follow-up found no effect.
By
The study was published, but then, of course, the guy who had the original effect said they didn't even replicate it, not even close.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, of course.
Well, I mean, if you don't do the same experiment, it doesn't matter if it's double-blind or not.
Well, apparently he said the Swedish group did not expose the subjects to magnetic fields for long enough to produce an effect.
Right, well, that seems pretty simple. That seems pretty simple
like
to...
a fucking quack to me.
Well, I mean, could be.
There's so much bullshit
could
around
be.
Magnets. I can't believe it. I bought a bunch of magnets from DL Extreme and they're fun, but they're not... They don't bloody... I don't know. They don't cure my cancer.
They didn't increase your intelligence to average.
Not that I have cancer.
Sorry, I'm still sour about that.
Made them into a bangle and put them around their wrist and then made a joke about increasing their blood flow.
I am so angry right now. I'm so angry. Because that whole blood flow thing, and you know, you've got the biomag underlays, and I was appalled to discover a biomag on my bed.
What?
It's not mine.
What the fuck?
God damn it. What the fuck is it doing there?
Are you saying that your girlfriend put a biomag on your bed?
Yeah, her mum gave it to her and she just put it on the bed.
Do you feel better? Is your arthritis gone?
My arthritis is 0% improved. I'd never had it. Still don't have it.
No, you could say it's 100% improved then.
But it's exactly the same. How can I say it's improved? It's identical. Well, I guess, I mean, if you say that amount of arthritis today is
a bit limp.
I can't imagine that she'd ever say anything like that. Quite the opposite. Shiny as fuck.
What did someone
say? Oh, no, that's not the line. I mean, veiny as fuck.
Glistening.
Glistening. No, glistening wasn't my word. But glistening got quite a positive response on Twitter. I don't know if you noticed.
It did.
Yeah, Robin added the old glistening. The old glistening. The reason I'm angry is that some bloody biophysicist bastards couldn't leave well enough alone. And they actually did some tests. And they discovered that an appropriately applied magnetic field actually improves blood flow. Blood flow by something like 30%. It's ridiculous. It makes me so angry because, I mean, this is, you know, I'm sure they applied a massive Tesla field. Actually, it says 1.3. Okay, so it's about the same as an MRI machine.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, 1.3 Tesla. And what does a biomag give you?
So call me back when you've got an MRI around your bed.
That's right. And if you apply 1.3 Tesla to this, they used a sample of blood outside a body, I think. I understand.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's right. And it reduced the viscosity of that blood by between 20 and 30%. So it made it flow much more readily. Basically, it gets the blood cells in order. It lines them up with the magnetic field. And
there is fact behind the stupid theories of magnesleeps.
No! Fuck them! They're fucking guessing. Their guesswork woo bullshit is because, wow, magnets are special. They had no idea about any of this.
I've had a look at one of those, and aren't they just like little round magnets all through it?
Yeah.
Like and spaced in.
Yeah, very weak.
So they're not even aligned pole to pole?
I don't think they're, no. No, there's just little disc magnets, little cheap little disc magnets. So, I mean, their thing is just woo bullshit because they want to sell a bunch of crap to old people.
And
people.
What is it? Yeah.
All of those things. All those just completely mad. Well, you know, the old maximum dilution makes maximum efficacy of, what's it called? The thing that I eradicate from my brain every time I talk about it.
What? Maximum dilution?
Yeah, what's it called?
Water.
Tell you what, that's not diluted. Ooh, yeah. Ooh. What am I thinking of? God damn. name. Homeopathy.
Oh, right.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Okay. I prefer homeopathy, personally.
You what? You want to... Are you talking about you want someone to gob on your knob?
I'm sure that
like a corn
make
cob?
You feel better than homeopathy, personally. But yeah.
Suck on your dick like a broomstick.
Why, Stephen Joyce is scared of that.
Did you just come out, Ben? Have you seen Hangover 2?
Pardon? Hangover 2? No. Okay. I haven't. Have you?
No spoilers.
Is it out of the movies?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I went and saw it out at Sylvia Park with the girl yesterday. It was good fun.
Was it good, was it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. But then I enjoyed the first one as well. And I understand that a lot of people didn't like the first one. If you didn't like the first one, you won't like the second one.
Yeah. They go to Thailand or something, do they?
Yeah. Yep.
I imagine there's lots of ladyboy jokes in there.
It's funny you say that. Oh boy. There are things that you don't actually expect them to show. Yeah.
Okay.
But they show them.
Oh,
so that's Thailand, but do you know? Let's talk about.
Talk about what?
Bad segue.
About Thailand?
Let's segue to a different country in Asia.
It's such a bad segue that I don't even know what you're talking about.
I'm going to talk about Japan again. We were already talking about Japan, so I should have talked about this back then.
Right.
Back then, all of those, you know, 7 or 8 or 9 minutes ago. This is more
this is
about
be an hour long episode, so we're blasting through it.
We're absolutely blasting.
I hope that guy we're going to call is going to be available.
He is not back yet, so he might have just gone to bed. So now, what was that? The nuclear reactor in Japan was Fukushima or something?
Fukushima, yes.
So there's
which they've just revised to say it released twice as much radiation as they said it had.
Well, of course it did. But there's nothing to worry about because there's a whole lot of experts on the internet who say that radiation's just fine. They say, don't worry, I'm now a PhD in radiationology, according to Wikipedia, because that's where we all get our information from. So there's this 72-year-old retired engineer named Yasuteru Yamada who has gotten together a group that he calls the Skilled Veterans Corps. They're presumably in Japanese, who are all retired engineers and similar people over the age of 60 who've volunteered to go in and try and clean up and tidy up the reactor because they think it's madness for young people to do it. They think that old people should do it. And I think this is friggin' incredible. What a goddamn hero.
It makes horrible sense.
It makes horrible sense, but it also makes... I mean, there's far out. It seems like such a gracious offer. It's like, dude is retired. He's done his bit. He's done his work. Actually, he might be the problem. He might have designed the thing.
But you would...
This might be guilt.
Wouldn't you if you saw these 20, 30-year-old dudes getting sick from radiation?
Would I say, oh, no, please let me go in there? Fuck no.
Even if you, I suppose you don't know what it's like to be 72, but...
I don't know what it's like to be 72. It could be, I might be like, I feel so useless, I'll do anything to get rid
but
of
again,
this terrible feeling.
The probabilities, and if the probabilities mean you're not going to get cancer for 20 years and you're 70 years old...
But he's Japanese, you'll probably live until 108.
Stereotypes.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a stereotype which, you can easily verify by looking at actuary tables.
Oh,
probably because he eats lots of pickled vegetables and it has formed tumours over whatever internal organ it is. That's right. Like Apu in The Simpsons, who basically is now bulletproof because no matter where you shoot him, he's already been shot there. So your shot will just hit him in a car.
So he's got ablative cancer tissue.
Pretty much.
From eating too much.
Which makes him essentially invulnerable to it. I wonder if there's also really strong magnetic fields riddling Japan like ley lines, which is thinning their blood and preventing heart attacks. It's got nothing to do with all the vegetables and the high seafood diet. It's all magic. Mm. Magic. It's magic in the magnets. And, I mean, magnet. Magnet. I mean, it's right there in the name. It's obviously a magical object. It's clearly true. So we've only been doing my stories, I think. Let's get some of your stories up, eh?
I'm quite surprised that Stephen Joyce is afraid of a growing cyber threat. Do you think he's got a girl that keeps wanting to cyber with him online? Boy.
I don't know a great deal about Stephen Joyce.
It's Mr. Rhodes.
Oh, yeah, I know that about him, but I don't know about, you know, his personal, his interest. Does he claim to be a very strongly religious person? Because if so, he is definitely up in the boys as often as I'm not saying underage boys. I'm just saying boys that look, you know, quite young. But I'm sure they're legal. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying that, you know.
I mean, don't you have to declare a strong religious affiliation to be a right-wing politician?
Not in New Zealand, not historically. I think that we've actually been pretty well protected from that. But the American influence is growing by the day, it seems. I mean, they're funding so many of our little so-called think tanks and lobby groups now that it seems like it's going to happen. And that will be a miserable day because New Zealand is a much better place without that stuff infecting our politics. Our politics are fucked. Our politics are super fucked. But they're not fucked to the degree that American politics are. No. But the thing is that I don't really care about the rest of the world. I care only about New Zealand. I think that we have the potential, because we are little and not too rich, but definitely not really poor, we have the potential to get everything right. If we really work at it, we can have, you know, we're already, you know, peaceful and non-corrupted and we have decent representation. And so it seems like there's a lot of ways that things can go wrong, things can go downhill. So our transport infrastructure is really shit. And it seems lots of our power transmission infrastructure.
Low density, I think, seems to... Same thing with, you know, internet infrastructure and all that sort of stuff. There's just no incentive there for people to do it.
Well, and that's true. The low density is a problem. It means that we can't really have high quality redundancy. But with the right designs, I mean, I don't see why, you know, the basic system can't be friggin' amazing.
You know, it's really sad coming back from Japan again. Yeah. Bloody must stop talking about it. But, walking around a general street like a Takapuna street and going into a little Takapuna restaurant and saying, dudes, this place is a little bit dirty.
Yeah.
Can't you clean it up a little bit?
Yeah.
You know, pick up that stuff and wipe that wall down. And, yeah, it's really sad.
It appalls me when I go into a restaurant that doesn't have an A category hygiene rating, which for people who don't live in areas with councils that have, there's a requirement to have visible hygiene rating.
Sure, doesn't everyone now?
I don't know if everyone does. North Shore didn't. They
really?
Did. Yeah, I don't think they did for a long time.
Okay.
They had to have a certificate, but it didn't have the great big letter on it.
Yeah.
So in Auckland, I think A basically is the minimum acceptable rating. A is because there is a higher rating than A.
Somewhere you go to regularly and you know it's possibly just a little slip.
Yeah.
You might allow them a B.
But given that like 70%, 60 or 70% of places manage to get an A, what is the excuse for getting anything less than an A? Clean your fucking benches. Part of the job of running a restaurant is cleaning.
And what it's things like that, they can get a B if their fridge temperature is permanently not very good and that sort of stuff.
Okay, so set the thermostat. Done.
But, you know, is 6 degrees versus 4 degrees really going to cause you any strife?
Could do.
I don't think so.
Could do. It depends on how long food is going to be in there for.
Yeah.
There's also
coming back to Stephen Joyce being scared of being cybered.
Yes.
So New Zealand government has unveiled a plan to battle hacktivism.
Oh.
This, well, you were talking about lobby groups and stuff. This to me sounds like basically what they've done is copy-pasted a, you know, we must shut down the internet press release because it's required for some free trade deal.
Yeah.
Because suddenly they come out and said they're going to start up a e-crime response lab. I thought all that e-cyber, e-crime stuff was...
Don't the police do that already?
Well, yeah.
And internal affairs to cover the stuff that the police don't cover?
There was that guy that was running a botnet out of Tauranga and he got nailed, didn't he?
Yep. So why do we need this special thing?
Special cyber response group.
Cyber. And why is it called cyber? What is cyber about it? And what does cyber even mean?
And I quote, the threat to New Zealanders and the New Zealand economy from cyber intrusions is real and growing. New Zealanders are already the targets of common cyber threats such as malware, scams, and identity theft.
Okay, so, identity theft is something that IRD and banks already deal with. Yeah.
Evolving cyber threat requires ongoing vigilance and flexibility to respond to the changing environment.
That's true, and that doesn't sound like central government, does it?
Sorry, you go.
That's absolutely true. It does require flexibility, which is not something you will ever see from central government.
Exactly. But the thing is, in the first or second paragraph, they call out cyber terrorism, and that's where I think it's come from. It's basically, as part of some free trade agreement with the states, they'll require signatories to have, you know, the ability to shut down the internet because of terrorism.
Yep.
And that sucks. Yeah.
And it makes me feel really uncomfortable to have them talk about hacktivism and conflating that with terrorism. Which
is one step away from WikiLeaks.
I don't even know if it's a whole step. I've heard people called hacktivists who were just, you know, maybe using Facebook in a really clever way.
People who bang
apps together that help people, you know, express their right to peaceful protest and assembly. Like the people who put together the clever maps, the anti-kettling maps for London protesters.
Really? Just a Google mashup, and they're hacktivists now, are they?
Well, I've heard them called hacktivists. I mean, what is a hacker? Right? What's a hacker? Someone who hacks something together, right? Yeah. And if you're a political activist and you hack something together that does a job, I mean, so the examples that they use are people who break into government things and so on. And that's, I think, a different kettle of fish.
Again, you send them to the police and the police deal with it.
Exactly. And they already have that power. So what's the deal? What's the deal? It's the government needing to look like they're doing something.
Yep.
Get fucked, government. Bunch of dicks. And if everyone who is listening now, I'm sure, watched the, because I mean so many people watched the Parliament TV when they were allegedly, quote, debating the copyright amendment bill a couple of months ago, they don't know what they're talking about. They are so clueless. I mean, everyone's mum knows better than those idiots.
Yeah, fed lines from the, you know, the
from
MEP
the lobbyists
who are then fed from the bloody US embassy.
That's right.
Which we know through WikiLeaks.
The idea of having any of those people have any part in protecting our internet is terrifying. Because, I mean, I don't know about you, but I've worked at ISPs. It's the geeks who protect everyone, right? The people who actually know what they're doing. They know how to set up their friggin' firewall rules and all of that simple stuff. You know, they actually do the monitoring and they actually want to have a clean, safe, secure network. They are already doing it, and the central government will not help. They will not
help.
People
like RSA, they protect the internet as well.
I have never worked with the RSA. I don't know that RSA had a big part to play with anything that ever did it in the ISPs, frankly.
The RSA?
No, I don't think they had. I know what you're talking about, but I don't know. I don't know that they have any part of this.
No, they're enterprise security, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. And that I care much less about that.
Yes, but apparently, enterprise guys care a lot about it because everyone carries around those RSA dongles on their keychains, and even I should really read the article. But there's what was the defense contractor? Lockheed Martin.
Yeah.
Lockheed Martin said, you know, carry this RSA token on your keychain, you'll be safe.
Yeah.
To the point when, and you know, we all know RSA was cracked a while back, cracked right open, and they lost a lot of stuff. And they said, oh no, but we are pretty sure that they didn't actually, you know, take all the stuff that would be needed to compromise our tokens. So, as you were.
Some kind of seed keys?
Is that RSA right? Security Chairman Art Cavillo said the reason RSA had not disclosed the full extent of vulnerability because doing so would have revealed to the hackers how to perform further attacks.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I mean,
so
number
the guys
one,
that were intelligent enough to break into one of the top security firms' network, they thought, we better not tell them anything. That we better not say to them they've got enough stuff to hack our keys.
Right.
They would have known.
Surely.
Well, they did know, because customers might question this reasoning, because the Lockheed Martin incident suggests that RSA hackers knew what to do anyway.
Right.
So basically what it appears is that the guys took enough information to know what the next number to show up on the key would be.
Which is the trick. Now, listeners who are not familiar with these little dongles, they've got a little alphanumeric display.
Eight-digit display, yeah.
You know, you push a button and it shows you the key you can use. So you can have multi-factor authentication. So you put a username in and you put the password that you know in your memory in. And then you push this button and it gives you a third thing to put in, which is, you know, some seemingly random sequence.
Because we all know username and passwords are easy because, you know.
Really easy.
What is it? 90% of passwords are password and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah. So easy.
And I imagine people using those tokens would be using pretty silly passwords as well because they'd think the tokens were helping them out.
And actually passwords, even good passwords, it turns out, are not necessarily secure because this is another thing which isn't actually in the rundown. If you look at some of the Sony attacks where Sony cleverly was storing plain text passwords, because a lot of people, even who have decent passwords, reuse their passwords on other sites. If someone takes down site X and gets their user database, then they can just try that password they found in, you know, the Sony Play whatever game and online.
Yeah, someone's done that analysis and now. They can, seen that? They've taken the Gawker password list and compared it to the Sony password list.
Right. And then they can just, but they don't even necessarily need to do that, but that would give them
more
confidence.
No, they're showing the proof that 60% of the people who had an email address on both systems use the same password.
Right. And then they will probably use the same thing for their Gmail or, you know, whatever email they use. And so then you'll be into their email. And once you're in someone's email, how do you...
Password resets.
And, exactly. Yeah. The way that password resets work is by sending, an, you know, a new password or a string with a token in it, a URL with a token in it, to the email address that's registered, which is almost always going to be...
That's so scary. I wouldn't actually know if someone was in my Gmail because, you know, if they were doing the right thing and getting a password reset, then deleting it.
My Gmail uses an even stronger password than my bank.
I really should do that. Yeah. I have three levels. I have a disposable password, then I have a secure password, which I use for Facebook and Twitter. Yep. And then I have my Uber password, which I just use for Gmail and banks.
Yeah.
But I should really change it so the banks don't use the same one.
Yeah. I've got a bunch. I've got the same sort of disposable thing. But the trouble with the disposable password is that if you sign up for a site using the disposable password and then it turns out to be a decent site after a few months, it's probably still got your disposable password, which, you know, you use to register for whatever shit fucker little, you know, shareware website.
Forum or something, yeah.
And then suddenly, you know, something that might have some value to you is, just having some way of seeing what the back-end password security is would be really helpful. The most terrifying thing is being sent an email that contains your password.
I hate that.
Because if they can recover your password from the, like, if you push the button saying, I've lost my password, please sort me out, and what they do instead of sending you a URL to then go in and start the process of creating a new password, if instead they send you your password, password was stored in plain text.
Yeah.
Ergo, their systems are sketchy as fuck.
People, I said that to someone on Twitter and they got all upset and said, no, it's completely normal.
It's not normal.
No, it's fucked.
It's dangerous. I would never. I'm a half-assed motherfucker when it comes to coding, and I would never build a system.
It's so easy to hash passwords as well.
It's so easy. Yeah. It is so easy. But I mean, I'm a Cold Fusion coder, so everything is easy, really.
it's easy in every language. Everyone has a bloody,
I'm sure.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
But the thing that bothers me about RSA and Sony and everyone else is this fucking default behavior to say, we know we are totally rooted and we have lost a whole lot of stuff. Let's not say what we've lost just in case we haven't lost a whole lot of stuff.
Bullshit.
Or in case the people who have taken it are too stupid to use it.
What a and pack of wallies.
Every time that gets worse and they have to come out again and say, oh yeah, well actually it was really, really bad. Yeah. Why don't they just say at the beginning, it probably is really, really bad. You know, we don't know for sure, but for safety's sake, let's swap out all these tokens.
Yeah.
Anything for the shareholders.
And some people would say anything for Apple. Now we
hang on, before we go Apple, are you going to call Carl or Dylan's just pinged me as well?
Dylan's not on my Skype.
Isn't he?
I'd be happy to get Dylan on to chat. I'm not cutting any of this out, by the way. So if you want to talk about random side sausage factory stuff.
Add Dylan to your Skype. His Skype name is his first name and surname without anything in between.
No, I've got him on my list, but he's not online.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying.
I think you find if you call him, he will be online. Yeah, if you want a podcast that talks about RSA and Sony in a really good way, Risky Business. Really good podcast.
All right, keep talking for a second while I sort out why I haven't got young Dylan here.
Okay. Yeah, Risky Business. Good low-key podcast that goes into all sorts of detail. The other the RSA thing, the guy said something about... he said failing to disclose the true nature only misled RSA's customers about the risks they faced, and it's talking about basically risk levels, which really bothers me because people say, oh, the risk is low, so we won't spend much money on it. But yeah, Risky Business goes into more detail on that. So I have to keep talking to myself.
Yep.
Fuck. I'll talk to myself about.
Hello, listeners. You know that I would be able to do this. I've got another
Say again?
We're definitely not up to that yet. I've got another thing on my list, and this is... Now, we wanted to talk to... Unfortunately, the time zones are not very friendly. We did have lined up to talk to popular...
Apple fanboy.
Popular Apple iOS developer Carl Von Rando, who is at WWDC in San Francisco at the moment. But the time zones mean I think it is about 1 or 2 a.m.
in the morning, yeah.
So I think that our recording time just... was not quite in the window. There was a very brief window because, I mean, naturally, I mean, you're in San Francisco. You're an awesome friggin' developer. You've got a whole bunch of mates up there. Of course, you're going to be out having dinner and carousing and doing all of that good stuff. So
we haven't touched on any of the iPhone stuff. Should we leave it till next week?
I don't necessarily want to leave it to next week, but we can.
Should we get Android fanboy Dylan Reeve?
I'd love to, but he's still not online, according to my list. I've just added another account of his, which... so it wouldn't let me.
Okay.
I said, add to conference, Skype, and it said, fuck all. It said, fuck all and nothing to me. So that's no good.
Tappity-tap-tap-tap-tap.
So related to Apple, now this is the most ridiculous and appalling story I've ever heard. And it's not Apple's fault, naturally. But this is from DailyTech.com. Mm. Chinese boy sells one of his kidneys for iPad 2, which is absolutely ludicrous.
Is that real?
Here's a quote from him. Well, I don't know if it's real or not. Who can say if it's real or not? It's on the internet, so you've got to assume it's not real. Hi, Dylan, I can hear you there. Thank you for being quiet. He says, yeah. I wanted to buy an iPad 2, but I didn't have the money. Okay, well, you can't have an iPad 2 then. he couldn't wait a couple of months to save up to buy it. It sounds like bullshit, eh? It does sound like bullshit.
I think what's the website? I think it's a...
Daily Tech.
Oh, no. I mean...
They're not little.
Where's the verification?
Good question. That is not an appropriate link. Oh, it's from the telegraph.co.uk originally, it appears. Which, you know, okay, so British newspapers, not always the greatest.
Yeah, anything to sell.
So
yeah,
this kid sold his kidney for £2,000. What a little dickhead. That's so cheap. 17-year-old kidney? That's a young kidney. I'd pay heaps more than £2,000 for a 17-year-old's kidney if I needed a kidney. You know, if it was a tissue match. If I was going to buy some human flesh for consumption, I don't think I'd buy a kidney for it. Because I'm not really into eating kidneys of even, you know, more conventional, protein-y animals.
Right.
I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, because that, you know, the job of a kidney is to take in blood and filter it and put out piss. And so I'm like, okay, is that really an organ that I want to eat?
On MasterChef, they were preparing kidneys, and yeah, they said they smelt of wee, and they had to
They need to rinse them heaps, right?
Cut the chambers out and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I can remember stuff from seventh form biology. I can remember there's Bowman's capsules and like nephron tubes and so on, and it's a pretty amazing organ. But that doesn't mean I want to eat it, because a brain's a pretty amazing organ. I'm not really excited about eating those either. Actually, livers, neither. I'm not really into eating livers.
I like chicken livers. Chicken livers on a teriyaki stick is
actually. You've just pwned me. You've completely pwned me, because I fucking love me some pate
and
so,
chicken hearts. Have you had chicken hearts at Yakitori? Great.
You know what? I probably have, but yakitori is such a crappy way to eat, and it always makes me angry.
You're such a fucking snob.
even when I'm eating...
Yakitori it means pieces of the bird, and it's a peasant food. Make sure you eat all the bird.
Sorry, unrelated, but lovely Selena just brought me in something to eat because I desperately need it, because I'm completely exploding. And on her way out, she just turned out the lights. Just because. I mean, she was leaving a room, so why wouldn't you turn out the lights? Because I'm in here.
Shows you what you mean to her.
I'm a waste of energy. You can have the food, but turn off the lights.
Hey, Android fanboy Dylan Reeve, welcome.
Sorry. Oh shit. Can't. Are you there?
Yes.
Oh, I unmuted, but the colour didn't come back on the icon. I wasn't sure I'd done it.
God damn, this is good. She has made something. Amazing.
You had done it. I was going to say, Android fanboy Dylan Reeve, welcome to the show.
Yeah, okay.
What do you make of iOS 5?
You know, I saw the bullet points on the Apple website, and I went, none of this really impresses me, except ridiculously for the fact that I can now get Twitter notifications properly.
It's part of the OS.
It's part of the OS, yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
But what does... But what?
Because... Phone,
all right, well, yeah, I'm an Android user, so it's interesting to me that you're calling Dylan the Android fanboy.
Well, you're not a fanboy, though, really, are you? You're an enforced Android user. I forced it on you.
I'm not sure. I might be a fanboy. Because now the thing is, this thing with the notifications particularly fucks me off. I mean, because earlier today, anyone who uses Twitter knows that there was a massive nerdgasm from the WWDC people and the, you know, the blog following people and so on, talking about these amazing new features that Apple were adding into iOS 5. Number one, one of them amongst the not actually very long list was these improved notification system, which looks exactly like Android's one. What the fuck is going on? Apple is meant to innovate. What will Android copy if Apple is copying Android? What the hell? This is not the way it's meant to work. It looks exactly like Android's one. And so I'm wondering,
it's going to turn into like a singularity once everyone's copied everyone else and there'll be nothing new ever.
It's a snake eating its own goddamn tail, and I wish I could remember what the name of that thing is. It's something Ouroboros.
Isn't it like two snakes eating each other?
Oh, well, maybe it's two snakes. But in this case, well, I guess it is two snakes in this case. Yeah, you sorted me out on that one there, Dils.
I want to say an analemma or something like that, but
No, an analemma is the shape. It's like an infinity shape, but it's actually an extended, horizontally stretched analemma. And that's the shape that I think the sun tracks. If you track the sun on the ground, it basically traces an analemma.
Ouroboros.
Ouroboros, that's it. I knew it was something like that. What was I starting to say?
Eating its own tail. Sucked in, Dylan.
Sucked in, Dylan. But he's right. That
two snakes.
Yeah, in this case, it is two snakes. But I was going to say, so what the hell was iOS doing before if this is the amazing new improved notification system? This seems like it's such an obvious way to do it. This is what, really, essentially, I think, what Windows CE did in like 2000. It looked like this with the notification line up the top. And that's where
iOS comes from a modal world.
Yeah,
everything is modal, so the notifications are just a modal dialog box. Boink, in your face. That's
it. How does Twitter work now? Because I mean, I have an iPad, but I don't use Twitter on it. If you're in a, do you get notifications when someone mentions you? Or
yeah, you can sign up to all that, and they just come and they pop up like a.
But every app is responsible for doing it itself, I suppose.
Yes. But they all do the same thing. They all pop up messages in front on the middle of the screen,
like a JavaScript alert.
If anything, I have too many notifications because very often if I get an ad, I'll get a text. I'll also get whatever the hell my Twitter client is.
And now you get emails as well.
Now, shit. You guys have just gone all Cylon on me. We're going to have to drop this call and restart it really quickly. Okay, guys? I'm going to get you back in a second. Hello, listeners. I can just take a moment to talk to you. Oh, Christ, that's loud.
What's up, hello, dog?
Dude. Oh, that sounds so much better.
Exterminate. No, that's not Zahn.
And so I have the Twitter app installed, but I really don't like it very much. So I tried to kill that. But it still sometimes notifies me of tweets. I probably should remove it. But I've also got whatever it's called, Deck something. Tweet Deck. And that is, I love Tweet Deck. And so I'm very worried about what Twitter's going to do with it. Now, I think they acquired it, right?
Yeah.
Yep. I'm very worried about what they're going to do with it. So I get, you know, sometimes three friggin' notifications, but it's beautiful notifications in the lovely notification area. So, you know.
Yeah, it is weird when you have more than one Twitter client at once because they all kind of. And with mine, like if someone tweets me, if direct messages it is actually, I get a text. So my phone vibrates to tell me about a text, and then I get the Twitter client does it, and then I get an email through almost at the same time. So I tend to get three little salvo.
So it strikes me that these iOS 5 updates, they've called it, you know, a complete revision, iOS 5, right? 4 to 5,
yep.
Or 4.3 to 5. But it seems that they're just kind of cleaning up around the edges.
Yep.
So they've got the new Messenger app, which is because BlackBerry has been winning some teenage sales because it's a free and fast messaging thing that's cheaper than SMS.
Far out. Teenagers actually getting into BlackBerry.
Yes, because BlackBerry Messenger is device to device, and it's there's no cost. It's just data, I think.
You know, for a long time, I actually wanted one of those Sidekicks because, you know, that little flip-up thing, it had the thumb keyboard. It looked really cool. But now, I mean, why on earth would you buy anything that wasn't Android or Apple? Or, in your case, maybe Windows Phone 7. I'm not convinced
Ben
by it.
He admitted to me the other day he wouldn't buy one. I'm pretty sure that's what he said.
Buy one what?
A Windows Phone 7.
Not he doesn't 7. Need no, to. No, he gets phones thrown at him.
he does. He's swimming in them.
I definitely get a 7.1 at the end of this year. Absolutely. I recommend everyone does.
He's the Scrooge McDuck of phones.
I swear. I do.
He has a little vault at the back of his house.
Swim in them. I swim in mobile phones. It's so funny because 4 or 5 years ago, I would have been desperate to be in this situation. And now I just have mobile phone boxes littering around the office unopened. It's terrible.
Mmm, God, this food, I'm sorry, I don't mean to distract, but this meal, this some risotto that Selena's just brought in, God, it's so good.
So the fantastic point I was just making that you ignored was that it's they called it iOS 5, but really it's iOS 4.4, because, again, all they're doing is tidying up bits that they had to do.
This is the same thing that Apple...
Let's give it a 0.5. It's 4.5, let's be 4.5. fair.
Right.
This is what Apple always does. They release a service pack and they pretend it's a much bigger deal than it is by calling it Snow Leopard or Lion or whatever. In the Microsoft world...
It's going to be Honey Badger.
Oh, God, I would totally switch if they had a Honey Badger, because Honey Badger doesn't give a shit.
No way. Apple does it with everything. Apple, what is it? Like, they, no matter what it is, release new product... Anything or everything is promoted way beyond at least what seems reasonable when you actually get into it.
Well, not as bad as Chrome, though, is it?
What are you talking about?
Not as bad as Chrome.
How does Chrome talk about...
The experience I have with an Apple product is oversold, you know? The Apple marketing department is insanely good at what they do.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
And it's to the point where I actually get disappointed every time I use an Apple product now, because it is never as good as it seems like it should be.
But Jonathan, I've said this thing would suck my balls.
That's right, down here at the bullet point at the bottom.
It would suck your balls out of a single deck of aluminium. That doesn't make a good joke. this iCloud stuff, the other thing that got me this morning is people wetting themselves over the fact, oh, I only have to pay $25 a year and suddenly all my music's legal.
Oh boy, it's not, you thief. You're going to get an RAA all over your ass if you do this.
It's. I don't know, how can people think that the $25 gives them a full license to all the music that they happen to match?
You know,
so just to cover what people don't understand is you can sync all your iTunes bought music to the cloud, to a data center. You can also say, with everything else on all the other music on my computer, go and see if you've got a match in your iTunes database and give me, then store that match in the cloud. And that costs you $25 a year to have that service, up to 20,000 songs.
Yeah, but it's not storing anything because it's all deduplicated. I mean,
it's not, yeah. And all it's doing is saying, okay, fine, you can now sync with other computers this song, I'm trying to think of a bad thing, this Enrique Iglesias track.
Yeah.
Is now available on all your computers. And so people are saying, well, therefore it's legal because they've now got a copy from iTunes, which it's not.
I've just thought of something that...
I don't know. I think it's really questionable because you are paying a license fee and does iTunes give you the opportunity to go, oh, actually, I don't really own that track, so don't sync that one.
You know what? Microsoft really missed it. Fuck up, you bitches. I really want to say something. And I've been letting you guys talk for ages, and it's only an aside. It's not even big. It's not even a big deal. Well, we've got a short episode. We've got 7 minutes before we have to end this fucking show, Ben. So it's very important that I say this. I want to say Microsoft missed a trick. They released a subscription service, and that subscription service didn't detect all of the music that you had ripped off and replace it with legit stuff under the subscription.
It should have done that.
And it should have done that. And that would have been fucking brilliant. And possibly they still could if they still have that service.
Zoom, yeah, it's still there. It's only in the States.
So why don't they do that? Because that would be amazing. Because there are a lot of people who want to be legit. People want, most people, I think, want to be legit. Most people are not legit just because they have no alternative. They're either students and have no money. They would like to be legit, but they can't afford it. Or they live in a country where they can't get access to, you know, the given media because, you know, local licensing agreements and all that other bullshit. Okay, we've got really little time, so let's get on to Urban Dictionary, Word of the Week, Word of the Week! now, Dylan, let me also apologise. I got you on the show under false pretences. My intention was to talk to you about 48 Hours. We decided that before last week. I thought we were going to talk about just Japan last week.
Morgan's going to speak faster and faster as we get closer to the end of the episode.
Yes, shut up.
If I stall a bit.
All right, listen, we've got 5.5 minutes to finish the show.
I've never known him to actually have a deadline to end it before. What's going on? Did I miss something?
We're trying to finish under 60 minutes, and it's going to be really hard. And if you guys don't stop talking about it, we're going to miss the deadline, and I'm literally going to not care.
It needs to be longer than that because I need it to last me 3 car journeys.
I'm sorry. All right, well, maybe we can have a special edition where I just read.
Urban Dictionary.
Urban Dictionary, Word of the Week.
Urban Dictionary, Word of the Week.
The word, while you think about this, the word is Dylan Coldfinger. And while you think about that, I'm going to apologize for getting you on this week. Under the pretenses, we're going to talk about 48 Hours because we talked about 48 Hours last week and Ben was very bored of that. because I thought we were only going to talk about Japan last week and not 48 Hours.
Listeners, you should vote whether you want more 48 Hours or less 48 Hours. Tweet more or less.
Betting ends. Okay, so the word is cold finger. Cold finger. This is the definition as decided on Urban Dictionary. They have 3 definitions, so I'm only going by the one with 4,500 odd upvotes, not the one with about 190 upvotes.
Which is probably just some in joke. I relate it to cold shoulder, but I'm not sure how to go any further than that. Clearly, yeah. It's something to do with cold shoulder, and then I don't know.
All right. Well, you need to give me more than that.
Well, that's as close as I'm going right now. I want to hear what Ben says.
All right, Ben.
I'm thinking Goldfinger.
Yep.
Again, I don't know how I could relate it. Coldfinger.
Coldfinger. The man with an icy touch.
There you go. That's what it is.
He loves cold.
An icy touch.
That's beautiful. What's the cold shoulder is when you just kind of ignore someone, the cold finger. Oh, it's when you, maybe it's when you ignore someone via like text messaging or something or on a computer messaging.
I'm going to change my vote.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for option B. It's when you wake up in the morning with a dead hand and you put your hand against your
and
face.
You finger yourself?
No, you don't put your hand against your face. Submariners try for ages for that.
I'm going to tell you the second definition, cold finger. To perform a cold finger, both the male and female must be present. The male must put his index and middle finger in a freezer or in ice cold water for 2 to 3 minutes. After the time has passed, the male must immediately finger the girl with the 2 frozen fingers, making her feel a tickling, frosty sensation. This is not the definition that I was after. The definition I was after was similar to cold shoulder, except a cold finger is done by ignoring someone's text or Facebook message, usually when said in person's comment is pointless or uncalled for. So I say, Dylan, you got it, you dirty cheating bastard. I'm going to pretend you didn't look it up. Yay, Dylan!
I totally didn't.
I don't believe you, but you won anyway.
I'll send you a screenshot right now. There's nothing on my screen that is anything related to.
So photoshopped. Am I right, listeners? So photoshopped. Okay, we've got about 2.5 minutes.
Clicking furiously as he closes.
Shut up. 2.5 minutes. Corrections. Last week I said that at least with MMP, everyone is represented, which of course is not true. Not everyone is represented by MMP. Not many anarchist groups in Parliament. Not many libertarians. Not many members of the Aotearoa Legalized Cannabis Party, etc. What I really meant, what I was thinking was more people are represented. We have better representation than with FPP. Were you know one of 2 parties and that was it. Everyone else.
Second correction. Morgan said about getting demolition happening in Christchurch. Just pay some of those demolition experts to come down from Las Vegas. Yep. You don't need to pay them. Just get what is it? What's the program on Discovery Channel?
I don't know.
Explosive men or demolition dudes or something like that.
Demolition guys.
It's probably about 4 of them, and they all have similar names.
Exactly. Imagine the show you can make out of that. You know, you travel to Christchurch, help the people out.
Knock the whole bloody place down.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and have to work in dangerous conditions.
I think you said it in the show, and someone said it on Twitter as well, that it's apparently illegal to explosively demolish things in this country. But I don't see how that would matter because isn't there some sort of...
Pass some fucking legislation.
Brownlee just say what he wants to be legal and it is.
I mean, I think they've got a goddamn sheriff down there, right? Walking around with a 6-shooter on his hip.
Yeah. I'm pretty exactly. sure if Jerry Brownlee wants to blow up a building, I'm pretty sure he can make it happen.
And I don't think the people of Christchurch would be terribly upset by, you know, faster demolition. I don't think they'd be like, oh, no, you can't do that. We really like having our city all fucked up. All right, next thing.
Set up spectators.
Oh, God, and it would be so exciting. If you watched, we'll put some of the YouTubes up. There is some cool stuff with fireworks during the countdown to the implosion of the building. And absolutely. The most amazing thing, which I've seen actually in 2 of the YouTubes, I'm sorry, I'm going to keep talking to you guys because there's literally 1 minute left. There's a countdown. There's a countdown in the all in the windows and on the multi levels of the building, on like sparklers and Catherine wheels or whatever. So it goes like 10 in sparklers, 9 in sparklers, and it's amazing. And it counts down to 1, and then the building fucking collapses in a massive explosion, and it is so good.
I'd probably travel to Christchurch to watch it.
Me as well. All right, last thing. GIF is really pronounced like GIF. Some people are still like, blah, blah, blah. It's a G. It's right. A hard G. It's GIF.
You accept it? It's always GIF to me. I'm sorry.
It can be GIF. You can say GIF if you want, but it's wrong. And you can think GIF if you want, but it's wrong. 20 seconds. Thank you very much for listening.
Same thing with yogurt. It's not yogurt, you bastard.
No, it's yogurt. You think you're American. It's also aluminium because our spelling has an additional I. Thank you for listening. Tweet us at Discourse NZ, at NZ Ben, at The Morgan, at Dylan Reeve. Thank you. We love you. That is 60 minutes. 3, 2, 1.
Night.
Done.
You're listening to The Weekly Show on with course.
All right, we're using that one.